CBS Eye on the World, I'm John Batchelor. U.S. searching for a way to keep troops in Niger. This is the New York Times within these last days. A top Pentagon official said the United States was seeking clarification after the ruling junta in Niger decided to revoke a military cooperation deal. Within the same time frame, Islamic State claims responsibility for attack in Niger army that killed dozens. This is Reuters. The Islamic State claimed responsibility for attack on Niger's army that said it had killed 30 soldiers last week. Bill Raggio of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracy, he and his colleague, especially Caleb Weiss, keep the long war journal about the jihadists in Africa. Bill, a very good evening to you. We have moving stories here. There is a new boss in Niger, which is the army, having elbowed aside the elected president. Now the army is seeking to dishome the U.S. effort against the jihad in Niger, which was a major base for operating in West Africa. At the same time, the Islamic State launches an attack against the Niger army. Separate stories, but let's work them together. First of all, the significance of the U.S. basing, I understand there are two bases there plus the embassy, the significance to the fight on the jihad. Good evening to you, Bill.
Good evening, John. Yes, the bases in Niger are greatly needed by the U.S. and its counterterrorism partners in the region. These are used for intelligence, surveillance, and reconnaissance, gathering information both on Al-Qaeda and the Islamic State, both which operate in the region, and both which have grown in power over the last several years. The loss of this base, if confirmed, coupled with the exit of the French from the region after various coups in Niger and in Mali and elsewhere, this has really put a crimp in the Western efforts to keep, you know, I'm not even going to say defeat these Al-Qaeda and the Islamic State at this point, but just keep the lid on that problem. Since the coup in Niger, the U.S. has not been conducting operations in the base. The only flights that have been occurred from there, in my understanding, is to for security for the base. And you know, the administration is not helping itself. Assistant Secretary of Defense Celeste Wallander said the following, John. This is a quote: "Countries that are run by military juntas are not reliable security partners." And she added that part of the value of the proposition for us having access in Niger would be a return to democratic civilian rule in Niger. This is, you know, the U.S. wants to stay in Niger, wants to keep troops, and is looking for ways, and is at the same time is insulting the leaders of it's a coup, without a doubt. They're insulting them and you know, in public, and the defense officials, the Biden administration, thinks they have a chance in remaining in Niger. It's absolute madness, John.
The nature of a drone base in Niger, what does it do, Bill? Is it, are these predator drones? Are these surveillance drones? How do they work?
Yeah, so very likely they're operating the more advanced Reapers and possibly other smaller drones, but the Reapers would give them the ability to surveil the a wide region. They have longer legs. They could stay up for 30 hours at a time, and they'd be getting information on the jihadists operating in remote areas and then providing targeting information for either local militaries, or if the French were there, the French were running operations to go after leadership as well. I'm not aware of the U.S. actually conducting physical drone strikes from the, you know, from the aircraft that are operating at these bases, from these bases. But with the departure of the French, it would be very likely that the U.S. would have picked up this role. But the coup in Niger has really put everything in flux.
The Mali government is gone, replaced by a junta. The Burkina Faso, the same. Ghana, the same. Senegal is in question. This is West Africa, ECOWAS. That there, early on, there was talk of an intervention from ECOWAS, perhaps from Nigeria. That's gone by the board. So right now, can we say that the jihadists, both Al-Qaeda and Islamic State, are operating without checks anywhere in the region, and they're now free to advance against these juntas?
Yeah, the Nigerian talk of intervention in Niger was, to me, always laughable. They couldn't contain a jihadist insurgency led by Boko Haram and the Islamic State's branch in Niger as well. And yet they were going to provide troops to go into Niger to restore the previous government. I wouldn't say that they're operating unchecked, but the checks are minimal at this point. With these countries, once you have a coup, these countries, the primary goal of the new government is survival. It's local security, security in the capital, and maintaining control of the military, dealing with jihadist organizations in the hinterland is the last thing that that these governments will want to deal with. So, yeah, if not unchecked, minimal checks, John.
Well, we're then combining this with the story of the advances that Long War Journal tells of Shabab in Somalia, the appointing of a new emir in AQAP, and the brazenness of the jihadists throughout Africa. Right now, we're blind in the West. We're near blind in the East, unless we're just blind. I'm unaware that we have any comparable base in the East the way we do in the West, so that the war on terror has gone away from Africa? Is that how to think about this bill? There's no U.S. or its allies' opposition to the rise of these groups.
I would say it's on life support. The U.S. does maintain a base in Djibouti next to Somalia. There's 700 American troops as advisors and trainers and special operations forces that are operating in Somalia. The occasional strike, mostly to protect Somali troops that are in contact and are taking a beating. They call them self-defense strikes. We're barely keeping a lid on the problem in Somalia. You have African Union forces that are still there. They're supposed to leave by the end of the year. If that happens, I think what you're going to basically see is an Afghanistan-like situation. Yeah, the U.S. and allies' ability to counter jihadists in Africa, particularly in Eastern and in Africa and the Sahel, and even in Central Africa, is at a low point, John. The focus has shifted to Russia, to China, to Iran, to the Houthis, all understandable problems. But as we start reducing our presence and reducing our attention in Africa, it gives license for the jihadist groups or Al-Qaeda and the Islamic State to gain ground.
The strike in Moscow by claim to be ISIS-K is an example of what can now happen with all this ungoverned space. They're in good position to plan other transnational high-profile attacks on the West.
Yeah, absolutely, John. And it exposes, Russia has interests in Africa. These attacks don't have to happen in the home country. It's a global world. China has interests in Africa. Russia has interests in Africa. United States, France, right. Great Britain, other European countries. As these groups gain power, they're going to look to strike at those that they hate.
Bill Rajo, Senior Fellow, Foundation for the Defense of Democracy. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.